From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made in 2006 when a Finger Lakes native bought a store on Cuca Lake called Froggies. The boat crowd knew Froggies as the place on the lake to get gas, otherwise a roadside store. But the man who bought the store had a different vision, something bigger. And today it's called The Olney Place. Owner Seth Olney has turned that store into what customers describe as a kind of beating heart of the region. People go to The Olney Place as a destination on its own. It's the summer of food on Connections, and for starters, the best sandwich in the Finger Lakes is made at The Olney Place, but it's more than that. It's also run into a bit of a legal battle over the creation of a new tap room with a gorgeous view and a menu of beer options from around the country. We'll get to that later, but I did ask Seth Olney to come in and tell us about his small business success story, and it hasn't always been smooth sailing, but I think in many ways there's a lot for us to learn from him. So he's here. He's all the way from Cuca Lake, my guest for the hour. Thanks for coming all the way in, by the way.
Thanks for having me, Evan. I appreciate it.
You have friends in Rochester, though, so.
There's a couple people up here that I've actually ran into.
Come to think of it,
I was over at my good buddy Kevin McCann's, McCann's Local Meats on Clinton, and walking out, I see your cherub of a child and your beautiful wife getting out of the car. I thought it was a total omen before we walked in the studio here. So.
Just today. So, no, Seth seems to know everybody everywhere. Does anybody call you the mayor? Because, you know, you're sort of the mayor down there.
I've been referred to that probably since my days in SUNY Albany on Hamilton Street. the mayor moniker has gone a long way with me. Why? I guess, you know, just being outgoing and extroverted, whatever you want to call it.
Well, you grew up in, you went to school in Dundee, right?
Dundee Central School. That's
Dundee Central. How many people?
The Scotsman.
The Scotsman.
Which is also the name of a sandwich.
Ah, at The Olney Place.
The center bar, if you're in the store, you'll see the Scotsman, the Mustang, and the Laker, which is giving homage to all the local schools, Penn Yan and Hammondsport alike. So
there you go. So you were a Scotsman. How many people in your graduating class?
Less than 65. 63 is what I can best recall.
Yeah, most of us would say that pretty small, right? So growing up, going to school in Dundee, what did you think you were going to do with your life?
You know, going into college, I actually thought I was going to have a job kind of like a Chamber of Commerce president, went into politics, political science in SUNY Albany, actually had a chance to work for several, even current, Brian Kolb included, assembly people. Mm-hmm. Thought I was going to be a lobbyist for a long time. That was kind of the driver there, just to kind of be the guy in the know and knowing the right hands to shake and who to say hi to.
Do you
to.
Know the reputation of lobbyists in this country?
It's horrible. I know, which is why we're here. Yeah. Which is why we're here.
but you've thought maybe you could be in that world because you were comfortable in it, you're outgoing.
Ultimately, I think in the end, I probably, early on, Jim Trezise, a guy like that, where it was kind of the blend of both politics.
He's the head of the New York Wine and Grape Foundation.
Yeah, both a blend of politics with the privatization. You know, I've been a huge proponent of everything Finger Lakes since I was a kid. Even in my high school yearbook, speaking of high school, I think my quote was, "Did you get that at Knapp and Schlappy?" My parents, my family's now 58-year-old lumber and hardware business in Penn Yan.
With the best store name in the country.
One of the best names around.
Knapp and Schlappy.
Sure. Yeah. Even going to school in SUNY Albany, going to State Street Liquor Store, I can remember walking in and being kind of annoyed at the fact that they only had two or three Bully Hill SKUs of wine. And by the end of my senior year, the guy actually had like a Herman Weimer and a Dr. Frank's wine. So I've been a proponent of the Finger Lakes.
And they weren't even kicking you back anything, were they?
No, nothing.
That's just what you've ever
done. That's going back 15 years. So.
And you went to school for poli sci, right?
I did.
All right. So in that world then, did you enjoy studying poli-sci? I mean, were you the kind of person who said halfway through, why did I do this? Or were you thinking, no, this is what I want to do?
Full disclosure?
Yeah.
I graduated with a 2.53, and I went because it was the one major that I could go into and more or less base it on attendance and participation. And it's hard to, you know, give somebody an F when they're there raising their hand and they're there at 7:45 every morning.
They may not have studied or done the rest of the work, but
correct.
You were there.
I have. It's a BA and BS, as I like to say. So
a BA and BS. No, I said on this program yesterday, I got a 2.5 my first quarter in college. For me though, Seth, that was a wake up call to do better. You were like, that is right where I need to be.
I got a 3.12 the first semester, and everyone was like, oh, don't worry, you'll do better. Nope, that was about as good as it got right there. So
poli-sci, but you.
From PolySci, I actually did a summer internship with Brian Cole, worked with Charlie Nesbitt, actually, as the deputy minority leader, took a legislative aide position with the Republicans in the minority of the assembly, worked with guys like George Winter, and even our current assemblyman, a guy who I really admire, a guy named Phil Palmisano, who was at the time the senior, I guess he'd be chief of staff at the time for Jim Bacalus, who was our assemblyman at that time. And over the years, just made great contacts and kept him going. So,
is it impossible that you would get back into politics at some point?
I tell most of my friends, I said, I'll always consider myself a politician, but an elected official is a different story. So diplomatic, yes, but to get into that political realm, the thought of being at a ribbon cutting, in a library, and pick the town in upstate New York when I could be back at Cuca Lake. You know, there's some commitments there that I'm not ready to deal with yet.
Yeah, so. No, I take the point. And, you know, you talk about what you studied and who you worked for, Brian Kolb, George Winter. But the people who come into your store and the relationship you've built, you've had governors and lieutenant governors. You've had members of the assembly. You've had people in just about all levels of government from all parties, and Republican, Democrat, Libertarian. You're not really sort of, I guess you're an equal opportunity supporter as long as they are, in your eyes, what would you say, supporting the region, genuine?
Yeah, being genuine goes a long way. I think just the general ability to be mindful, to be thoughtful, and to come up with peaceful outcomes, minimal harm, you know, as a libertarian, I think is something we always focus on. Never using your person or your property to harm another person or their property. Those kind of roots for me are what count most. In the libertarian side, you get to blend both the progressive and the ultra, what they would consider ultra conservative, as opposed to what I would say neoconservative. You get to blend those things when it comes to personal freedoms. Those types of things.
Yeah, Seth owns the only place. He's my guest for the hour. It's one of our conversations in the Summer of Food series here on Connections. And if you've been following along with these series, most Thursdays this summer, you can find a collection of conversations, everything from restaurants, new restaurants, food trends and industry and agriculture, activists in the food industry, all kinds of stuff. And you can find it at WXXINews.org/connections. Just search for Summer of Food. And I think this fits into the Summer of Food for a lot of reasons, which we're about to get to. Seth's place, Seth Olney's place, is called The Olney Place. And you bought Froggy's, so this store, in 2006. Let's set the scene a little bit for people who haven't been there. It's on Cuca Lake, but where is it, Seth?
So you're 12 miles north of Hammondsport, 8 miles south of Penn Inn. You're nestled between both ravines, Switzerland Inn area, for those that know it, and south of Cuca Springs and Rooster Hill. Just up the road from me, there's a site that actually belongs to a gun club, the Barrington Rifle Club, which my grandfather helped founded 70 years ago from now. And I was home for a family party, doing real estate full-time, living in South Florida, came home, had to make an errand run, needed a bag of ice. Where do I go? Right down the street to Froggy's. I bought a bag of ice.
When was this?
2006. August 2006, right in the peak of the real estate
boom.
Wait a second,
the first time you walked into Froggy's was the same year that you bought it?
Well, no. I'd come to Froggy's as a kid. My family had a place down the street, extended family, and I would ride my bike from down over the hill, ride up to Froggy's, buy worms, buy corn, depending if it was a carp day or a perch day, depending on what the target species was in the lake. And was more than familiar, just kind of out of the path, going to school in Dundee. My parents, we always took kind of the non-lake route to get to Penn Yan, and it wasn't always on my radar.
But you'd been in as a kid.
But it was there, yeah, and you would go to Froggy's and buy a newspaper, buy a can of corn, buy a bag of ice, kind of like I did. And that was July of 2006. Walked in, and the place was bustling, and the building didn't quite seem to match the cars in the parking lot. And saw the for sale sign out front, and here we are.
So did you negotiate hard for this?
I feel like I'm still negotiating hard in many ways.
Yeah, we're going to get to that. I know.
I was in real estate, so the negotiating part of it was rather easy for me at the time. Even being 26, it'd probably be more difficult for me now. Thinking about trying to convince myself to do what I did, I look back and think about most 26-year-olds that I know now and doing that kind of business. It took a lot of faith, a lot of guts, and a lot of vision. But I'm really proud of where we're at and what we've done since.
It's quite different than that day in 2006.
It is a little different. It's different than it was in 2009, 2010. And yeah. I'll be honest, it's better and different than it was last year.
So I want to kind of help set the scene again for people who, now you know where it is, but why is sort of an everything store, or at least let's ask Seth, how do you describe what the only place is?
I think both our mission statement and our menu, conveniently nestled in the middle of nowhere, by land or by lake, welcoming both visitors, travelers.
This is going to be a whole branding thing.
We can go, yeah, hey, well, you asked. You're going to get the answer here. you know what it is we think Cuca Lake is a lifestyle. We want to maximize your time on Cuca Lake. Are people willing to pay a little more in a resort district? Sure. But when you walk in, it's not like you're paying $9 for a sleeve of Pringles. You know, we're offering some really high-end, really fun kind of curated goods that we think people find interesting. I had a woman today come in the store. My daughter called me from Brooklyn, and her store is out of this Morris's Kitchen, some mixer, you know. So the woman tells me, she checks our website and sees that we have it, and checks the distributor, sees that we have the grocery, and she comes down from Canandaigua at 6 o'clock this morning to meet us at 7 to make sure that we have this product. Sure enough, there's the Morris's Kitchen hibiscus grapefruit mixer, and she was more than pleased that we had it. And she didn't know any other place, and this is in a town that's got a Wegmans in it, you know. So we kind of pride ourselves on finding the little hidden goods throughout the country, and bringing them in the store. And
so kind of a high-end grocery, high-end everything.
You know,
it's like an everything.
It's not really a grocery store. This is public radio, and I consider it a real public house. I consider it kind of my house. Mm-hmm. You can come in, you can have a beer. You can come by boat, you can come by car, you can have a sandwich. You can find some probably articles of clothing, some grocery items, things that you're not going to see most places, particularly in between the lakes.
I want to know when you first realized, though, because you bought it in 2006.
Yeah.
When's the first time you realized people aren't stopping here just because they need a roll of toilet paper, or they need a little groceries, or they want to, you know, they're kind of driving by. They're coming here as its own destination.
I think as the food movement changed with craft beer was always kind of the driver for me. And I've always prided myself on a pretty extensive selection of nice packaged brews. It was around 2010, I think, when the vegan, gluten-free craze kind of started. And I saw that there was no places around that had that type of stuff. So I put in about a 4-foot section, which grew to an 8-foot section, which grew to a 12-foot section. And next thing you know, we've got people driving from Seneca Lake and from nearby towns that are coming out of their way because they've heard that we've had these different kind of selections of items. And at that point, I really grasped onto it, and that was when my cross-country travel really took off, and I said, there's got to be more out there that I can bring in here and kind of display and use this more of a showcase, really in the middle of nowhere. I grew up 3 miles away from this store. I wish it was, you know, there when I was a kid, but it wasn't, and I just had that vision and stuck with it.
Now, I have routinely referred to it as the Finger Lakes version of the Oakville Grocery, and I never know if Seth sort of hates that or if he likes it. So your chance to tell me if that's okay with you. And the Oakville Grocery, if you don't know it, is it's a sort of Napa Sonoma's everything destination store that people seek out.
Yeah, and in Oakville, they have two small wineries there, one called Robert Mondavi and the other called Opus One. So, yeah, I mean, right down the street from some real heavy hitters in the wine world.
Well, you're not that far from some Finger Lakes heavy hitters.
Oh, absolutely. We pride ourselves on being on one of the better stretches of road, really, in the Northeast in the United States when it comes to wine. We're very proud of Cuca Springs and what they've recently accomplished. To the Oakville Grocery part, I'm okay with that as far as
it's not exactly the same. I know you're not meant to be the same.
No, you're right. As a regional icon, I would be honored to think that we were anywhere near the same caliber that I put Oakville Grocery in.
Yeah, because I think of a place that people will go to on its own just to go there.
Sure.
I think of a place that has good food, really enjoyable sandwiches, chance to sit down, enjoy a great spot. It's in wine country. But I think it's also a good time to ask you about, you know, not only characterization as the Oakville Grocery of the Finger Lakes, but the fact that you traveled during the off season and get a sense for a lot of other these kind of stores. So your season, it is seasonal. You close when?
This year we opened up Cinco de Mayo. We'll close this usually the Sunday after Columbus Day is the day we take our cue and get out. It's already slowing down now with high school sports and college and things going back, and I start losing payroll, and I'm open about 5.5 months now. People keep asking if I'm going to be open longer, and I keep trying to cut it back to less and less. So I like my travel time. I like my time in the Finger Lakes. I'm a traveler to the Finger Lakes in the off season for a large part. To be where we are, to be an hour away from Geneva, Naples, Trumansburg, Watkins, Hammondsport. I'm always on the move.
This is what I really dig about Seth when it comes to, you talk about people who really love their region, regional leaders, regional boosters. Seth is, I've always experienced getting to know him, the real deal, because I know so many people who live in this area and never go to the Finger Lakes, or people who live in the Finger Lakes but have never been to the next town over or the next lake over.
Yeah.
That's not you.
Not at all. So whether it's, I could name drop until the day is long here on places
I
like, until the places I like to go to. It's a real lifestyle. It's a real joy. It's a job of one that I feel like I kind of created for myself and given myself the opportunity to have both a lifestyle. I feel like I kind of get paid to live, you know? So I just stay on the move
Now you're making it sound easy because you're
positive.
You're open 5.5 months a year. How many hours a week are you working during that time?
On a low end, probably 85. I probably hit a stretch from around my birthday, the solstice, around June 20, until about now, where I'm doing about 112 a week, you know, 14, 15, 16 hours a day. I have quite a large staff. I mean, I have over 12 on payroll, 14 on payroll. But it's easy for them to come to work and fight for the success of the business because I'm right there alongside with them.
Yeah, and how many, well, not to denigrate managers, everybody's different, but a lot of companies, you don't always see that.
Yeah.
You don't always feel like
the
managers. Yeah.
I feel like I earn my time off. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, sure.
And I hate to sound like a total, I don't even know what you want to call it, but the dollar is not what drives me. It never has been. My free time.
But you got to stay in business, though. You got to make enough money.
100%. You have to make a lot of money, come to find out. You have to spend a lot of money. Big mortgages, when you think about the bills, the utilities, all that, every business owner out there knows the plight and plunder of what it's like to try to struggle. And I'm still struggling. This February, I'm still going to struggle and wonder, gosh, I wish I hadn't spent that $20 on. You look back and kind of kick yourself. My free time is my currency, though. I really pride myself on my freedom to move and do what I want to do. And it's been a real blessing for me.
You travel in the off season a lot, not just throughout the Finger Lakes, but off into the West Coast. You look for these kinds of specialty, unique, one-off destination stores. So we mentioned Oakville, but what else is out there? What have you been to in this country?
I actually
that you
have
love?
Not too far away from Oakville is a grocery store that I was first told about when I was doing real estate in South Florida. I had this attorney, Larry Smith, and he said, "Oh, you're going to open up a grocery store in wine country? That's great. You know where you got to go? The Jimtown store." And I was like, the Jimtown store. You look it up, and sure enough, there's this old red pickup truck parked out in front of an old grocery store. I think, come to find out, maybe Ernst Gallo's fifth granddaughter owns it or something, you know. But you're in Geyserville, northern Healdsburg area, Sonoma County, a place that I go, and it's just a real trip. Lots of places from Point Reyes Station and the Palace Market there, Gualala, up along the Mendo Coast, the Sonoma Coast. And it's not just the grocery stores, it's the bottle shops, it's the restaurants. Taking a menu, seeing the way that the menu's folded at a place, it interests me. Seeing the formatting of how it's done. We have a term on the store, I think it's dine-in, take-out, or party assistance, which has become kind of our lingo for catering that I stole off of a menu, I think maybe in Denver or something. So I'm never not trying to absorb the ideas that other people are giving me, and I'm no great creator. I'm a great absorber and kind of returner of that energy.
Yeah, that's interesting because I was going to ask you, what are the kinds of products that when you travel you see and you say, I want this in the store, which I'm sure you do, but you're saying you're a details guy. You're looking at just about everything.
Yeah, always. I just think there isn't ever a screw you can't tighten when it comes to how it looks, how it feels. Even this year, my friend Stephanie and I did a very large mural inside the store. It took us about 11 weeks to complete. And I don't know what I was doing in the store without that mural. It feels like a different place to me now because of it. So And shout out to those back home at the only place listening, I think in the back room, Paris, Chris, all of you, thank you very much for taking the time. I do want to put that in there while I'm here.
They got a bunch of customers who are waiting in line. No one is serving them because they're all listening on Finger Lakes Public Radio, WEOS.
You've got people today listening all the way from St. Croix to Denver, Northern California, that I've tried to publicize as best I can.
Yeah, Seth stays in touch with customers, and you were mentioning, so when you reached out on social media, you heard from people who are maybe Finger Lakes visitors in the summer. They get to know you, but they're gone. They're not from here. But they're so right now, connections.
I know my friend Kelly in Denver is absolutely listening to this right now. My friend Shannon in Northern California, 100% listening to this right now. And these are people that have come, that have visited, that know me, that I go travel in the off season. I mean, again, this doesn't afford me any sort of great wealth. Part of me is trading that lifestyle. I only get to travel because I got a lot of couches to sleep on between here and Portland. So Southern California to South Florida. I can't do it without these people. And I've kind of, like I said, I've based a life around it.
Talking to Seth Olney from the only place on Cuca Lake, in the Finger Lakes, and this store that has become a destination in its own right, not just sort of a place you might stop if you're going wine touring, if you're in the area. And one of the reasons, I'm just going to say it, Seth knows, I've never come to your store and not gotten a Rachel. It's the best sandwich in the region. I know you like the Laker and everything else. The Rachel to me is the best. You're probably going to say there's no great secret to it, but what's a Rachel?
I think in the menu we describe it as Ruben's better-looking sister. chain of delis in South Florida that I used to visit frequently, 2J's, probably 25, 30 of them in South Florida. They had a Rachel's, first time I'd ever seen one. Yeah, I grew up in a pretty homogenous neighborhood, you know, 63 kids here, not a lot of Jewish delis around Dundee, New York. So when I was even in the South Florida region, living down there, always going into grocery store and collecting menus was something I even did back then just for my own, as a hobby. So the Rachel, perfectly grilled crispy rye bread, homemade Thousand Island, some warm turkey and melty Swiss with some homemade coleslaw piled on top, and it's snappy and sweet and salty, and it's just so good. It pays the bills, I'll be honest with you.
Is that the biggest selling
one? If you read online, I would say if people are mentioning a sandwich, the Cuban is pretty good, but the Rachel's, that's the darling, let's face it. You know that too. Come on.
It is great. So there's sandwiches, all kinds of food items, and we're going to talk in a bit about this tap room and the expansion and what has been going on there. Before we do that, Bill in Brighton wanted to call, and on the line now with Seth Olney. Go ahead, Bill.
I had a question, because a place like yours, which finds specialty foods that are hard to get. Now, I know a white tablecloth chef, and I consider anyone in this era who, even if it isn't a white tablecloth, is a serious chef, is looking for things that make his food or his creations really outstanding. So my question is, although they probably use the Rochester Public Market for distance on when they're on their daily work, but on their days off and on the weekends, I was just fascinated to know if you have chefs coming from Rochester to purchase something in your store they can't get elsewhere.
Good question. Thank you, Bill. Seth?
That is a good question. I think mostly because you're talking about, as a chef, things you can buy in more bulky type items in mass. Probably not. Probably more or less chefs that have heard about us and coming to visit in their own downtime.
Yeah, their downtime.
Because we do get a lot of the culinary world coming to visit us. You know, people like Chris and Isabella, as you both know from the Wienery, even our friend Kevin McCann up here at McCann's Local Meats, people that are coming down just to say hey and see what's up. But they're probably stopping at the Mennonite stands along the way and getting their flats of squash and groceries, along the, tomatoes, garlic, whatever it is. Well, I wouldn't say we offer anything that anybody seeks out to increase their own experience when it comes to finer dining. We don't really consider ourselves in the grocery business or the restaurant business or the food business in general, but it is obviously what we do for a living. So it's just hard to pinpoint us down onto one thing. And because we have such a limited time and limited space, I don't think we benefit, the fine dining side of things.
On Twitter, Kate says, please tell Seth to open a satellite store in Port Bay at Lake Ontario. We need something like his store up there. Like you got nothing else to do, but
give me a nickel for every town that somebody's asked me to come open an Olney place in, and I'd have a handful of nickels.
But Kate, we take the point there.
Thank you, Kate.
Ed on Twitter says, "What exactly is the name of the store? I'm driving in the car and wanted to make sure. Olney, O-L-N-E-Y. It's the Olney place.
Seth Olney.
Seth Olney. And one of your other customers, a regular, is on the line with us. It's Bob Duffy, former Rochester mayor, former lieutenant governor.
Mr. Duffy.
Seth, how are you guys doing?
Hey, buddy. What's going on? Great to hear from you.
I can call and say that I am a very proud customer of Olney Place, and I'll go on record and say that my favorite sandwich is a Rachel.
See? You may not have perfect taste in everything, Bob, but you've got
Paris,
a good one in sandwiches.
If you're listening, clear the rest of the menu. We got Rachel's to make it sound like a big rush for them this afternoon.
Bob,
I'm down at my office right now, the Greater Rochester Chamber. We want to open up an Olney Place here on State Street as well. And I'd like to just applaud Seth. Having known him for several years, I've often said, if he ever decides to run for office, I want to run his campaign. But he has done a great job. That store is, I think, just a tremendous store. He is initiative in opening up that business. It's every time you drive by or stop in, the parking lot is filled with cars. And just applaud his energy, his initiative, his creativity, and it's a great business. And he is also a member of our chamber, which we're proud to have him.
Bob, when it comes to working with businesses, obviously you did that as lieutenant governor, and now in your current role, I know that's what you do. When you were lieutenant governor, you know, someone like Seth is a small business owner. We hear so much from political leaders about the value of small businesses, but sometimes they run into their own battles. What did you learn as lieutenant governor that you think has helped you in your current role from the people like Seth? I know you've had to kind of step in at times over the years. What do you think you learned that is helping inform your work now, Bob?
Well, I'll go back in my tenure as mayor and also as lieutenant governor. The one thing that we did consistently was go out to visit businesses, to visit business leaders and owners like Seth, and ask them, what can we do to make things better? And I think for every elected official, anyone who is going to create legislation, especially legislation that could have a direct impact or unintended consequences for those who own businesses, is to go out and ask and sit with people and realize the challenges that they have. Because Seth probably has a number of those. I mean, from workers' comp costs and taxes and minimum wage issues, there's things that just pop up that sometimes...
Wait, don't stop there. There's a lot. The list is much longer, Bob, and you know it. Don't stop there.
Payroll every Thursday and trying to make ends meet and pay your employees and cover all your expenses. That's a huge challenge. And just to say quickly, Seth could jump in. There's often a perception in government, and perception, again, with a lot of interest that argue for certain things, that business owners are these one percenters who drive around in very expensive cars and live in palatial homes and have oodles of cash. That's not the case. Your average business owner is somebody like Seth, who works hard, who has put probably his life savings into his business, makes it work. He employs people. He provides a living for people that work there. And every time I've been in Seth's place, you see a lot of happy people working in there and really feeling good about it. But it's a very tough business. And I think that government does a lot of good things for business. But I think the best thing they can do and the most important thing is to go out and sit and listen. And I'm sure that Seth has that with his leadership out in Yates County and beyond. I think there's probably spans a pretty big region out there, but I think people have to go out, sit, listen, understand, and find a way to create much more balance. We don't want to lose businesses. We don't want people like Seth going out of business, because not only is he creating a living for himself and his family, he's creating a living for a number of people that work there. And he adds value to that region. He really does, both in the tourism season and in the off season.
Well, Bob, before I let you go.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you very much for that. It's very kind.
Let me just ask you real quick before you go, Bob, because this is sort of a lead into our second part of our discussion with Seth. He is he's dealing with, and we're going to kind of talk about that in a moment with Seth. It hasn't come up yet on the program, but he's dealing with this expansion issue that he's got a new tap room, and it's very popular, and generally the neighbors around the store really like it and appreciate what he has done. I know he's had one where there's been some pushback, but you've got local government that's been kind of stepping in, and I think Seth will probably tell us in the second half hour, but I've seen him write about it online before. He's been frustrated that they have sought to kind of limit growth, and he's been trying to grow sort of responsibly. Are you sort of aware of that, Bob? And do you view the chamber? Does it have a role? I mean, nobody wants to see a business either shut down or get into these local government wars. But what do you make of that, Bob?
Well, I don't have all the specifics. I am a little bit aware of it, and I've offered to Seth in the past. He's a member of the Greater Rochester Chamber of Commerce, and we support our members, and we do anything we can to support them. In those situations, having been on the other side from time to time, I think government has to find a win-win with business and have to look for ways to make it a win, because there are issues the government will face and there are issues business leaders like Seth will face. And if there is a difference of opinion, find a way to make it work for all parties involved. And I learned a very good lesson from Governor Cuomo. I work with him and involved in a big negotiation with, say what it was the Buffalo Bills stadium lease, and I go back many years ago. And we were quite a bit apart in between the state, Erie County, and the Buffalo Bills, and we wanted to keep that stadium there and keep the Bills there, and this predates the Pagulas. But we were, again, quite a distance apart. I remember calling the governor to break, and the first thing he said was, Bob, why don't you split the difference? So the parties came back in from Mr. Wilson's team, and just kind of mentioned, the governor said, let's split the difference, and in 10 minutes we had a deal. And so I think it's a great lesson that if both sides kind of come in the middle and find a way to make it work. I mean, just knowing Seth, seeing Seth at work in that store, he's on site, he's talking to customers, people come in. I think by virtue of his personality, people come and support him. He brings life and vitality, adds sales tax revenue. He's putting people to work. And, again, certainly if neighbors have issues, let's all find a way to make it work. And we don't want a business to close. We don't want Seth to lose customers. But I think there's ways that if everybody is trying to find the right solutions to make it a win for all sides, it'll happen. And my sense is, knowing Seth's personality, I don't know the officials involved with this, but I will tell you, knowing him and knowing his personality, his stretch down there with the business and the general community, they'll make it happen.
Thanks for taking the time to call in, Bob.
Thank you, Mr. Duffy.
Very, very
unbelievable.
Listen, I'm going to head out this weekend. I'm going to get a Rachel sandwich. So I'm not sure what the sandwich is named after, but I tell you, it's one of my favorites.
Thank you
for what you do, adding a lot of economic health and vitality to that area of the world, overlooking beautiful Cuca Lake. And again, I thank you. And again, Evan, thank you for, you're always on point with great topics. So you guys have a great day and a great upcoming Labor Day weekend.
Thank you, Bob.
We'll talk to you soon.
Well.
That is Bob Duffy joining the program. And I guess a long time, when was the first time he came into your store? You probably remember. Is he a long time customer?
Well, of course, like we all do, we try to spend more time at Cuca Lake. He came in the first time about 3 years ago. Of course, we have former mayor Tom Richards, who's a regular, and he kind of introduced me to Mr. Duffy. And from there, as he moved backing out of his position as lieutenant governor and everything else, found that Cuca was where he wanted to be home. And it's hard to live on that east branch of Cuca Lake and not make a stop in my store, I think, no matter who you are. So
let's get our only break of the hour, which, by the way, the only break of the hour. We got to do the break live, Rob. It's been a hectic morning here at Connections and afternoon here. But if you're just joining us, it's the Summer of Food here. It's our series of conversations about trends and goings-on in the local food and agricultural industry. Seth Olney is in studio. He's up from Cuca Lake. He is the owner of The Olney Place. And that's his store. That is a regional destination store on Cuca Lake. It's kind of, in many ways, a grocery store, a lunch stop, a place for boaters to get gas, and a tap room. And that's what we're going to talk about next, this expansion. It's sort of a small business struggle / success story. And we're going to talk a little bit about the struggle with Seth next. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. On Twitter, McGregor Vineyard tweets at us and just says, well, you've got him in studio. Remind Seth Olney that he's got 3 cases of Wine Club pickups to take with him when he heads west. You are an evangelist, aren't you?
I spread the love, man. When I drive out west, I have great, great friends, neighbors that are involved in all levels of hospitality, those particularly in the craft beverage industry. We have some great friends up the street, the Lampies, that own Weyerbacher Brewing down in Easton. Always spreading the love, taking their stuff with us.
And, of course, the McGregors.
And John McGregor. Just 10 years a member of the Clan Club. McGregor Winery, one of the few places where you probably won't see a lot of their stuff in store, because they take such a pride in their membership and working on becoming almost a private winery, because of they have so many customers that are already friends and members.
I don't know if there's a better, more connected wine club.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic, John. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. So let's talk a little bit about what's going on now, because you've got this tap room, which is, so if you walk into the store now, it's blown up a little bit. And so why don't you tell me about the history of what's led up to this here?
Sure. As the food movement kind of grew with us and the expansion of goods kept going, we found out that there was a license you could obtain called an eating place license, which allows grocery stores that have prepared food with seating, prepared food being key to serving alcohol, to serve the beverage that they sell, in this case grocery stores selling beer and malt beverages. June 28th of 2013, we got that license, and we started our little sip and shop program where people are walking around with baskets, drinking beers, kind of hanging out, and it was so successful. If you walk in the store originally, there was no windows in the back, nothing. I just couldn't afford windows when I was 26 and kind of on a shoestring budget trying to finish this thing out. The idea was always to do a deck. And then I thought, well, this is going so well. We can serve beers. Let's expand the seating. And I'm not going to stay under the directive of the State Liquor Authority, but it was their wish to see more indoor seating because we had a year-round license. The lawn area adjacent is included where you can have beers and hang out. And that's kind of where the seating count comes from and allows that formula to work, whatever the State Liquor Authority has to give a license like I have. So in 2013, we applied for, got a permit, built an addition, which we then received a certificate of occupancy for on July 2nd of 2014.
You're giving me too many details, but okay.
Okay. Yeah. So since then, we've opened up a beautiful, just under 700 square foot addition with a deck that adjoins the lawn. And it's been great. I put 12 beers on tap. You walk in the area. More times than not, people aren't even drinking beer. It just made the space more beautiful. You walk in the store, and there you are. Bam. You're looking right at Cuca Lake, right across the way. And it just changed the whole energy of the place. I found that I didn't have to tell everybody how cool the store was. They just kind of came and saw it for themselves. You know, they walk in the store and like, man, how have I not been here before? And I that really is what drives me to continue to do more and improve the place every year.
And so the vision for that was a dozen beers on tap, a place for people to sit, enjoy the view of the lake, have a pint. What about outdoor? And I know you've run into a little bit of dissonance on that
We've had a few particular neighbors that didn't quite share the vision. Of course, they weren't there when we started there. And to deny that the space has been used anything less than as a commercial space, I mean, I've got pictures of gas pumps, Esso signs, Sunoco signs, Coca-Cola signs going back to the 1930s. So for people that were unaware that they were buying next to a commercial space, you know, they probably should have caveat emptor, let the buyer beware is what I would say. And at the same time, wanting to create a business where people would want to be near it. How many times people come and say, people that own a rental house, and they say, man, I can't believe the value that you've created for me, to have the value of people that rent year after year, that come back, that have that sense of ownership. They're less likely to have that kind of rental weekend party, bachelorette, whatever you want to have it, wine trail party mentality. They want a place where their kids can ride their bike and know that it's a safe place, to know that they're going to be treated with respect and that they're going to be in a safe place. So there's a lot of people from realtors, neighbors alike that have continuously thanked me for creating something that's a real attractive landmark for the area.
And now, I guess, I go back to some of your comments earlier that you feel like with sort of your libertarian mindset, you wouldn't want to use your own property or your own businesses to hurt anybody. But when it comes to music, for example, have you had raucous, loud music parties and has that disturbed the neighbors?
We've had loud music, never. If it's been loud, it's never been in poor taste and always done in a timely
genre?
Manner. My family's, they're not very good, but my family's bluegrass band, who's excellent. The Barrington Ridge Runners have come, performed. My friends Tavana, Zach Deputy, Alex Smith, Virgil Kane, guys who have come over the years and played tunes on the porch, in the side lawn, something we've always done. We got this permit to build a store, and with it, the town said we then had to get a permit for live music. So, of course, trying to be the moderator that Mr. Duffy explained me to be, my suggestion was, how about we have it until 7 o'clock, ending at 7 o'clock, twice a month.
Ending at 7 p.m.?
Ending at 7 p.m. the music ending at 7 p.m. twice a month. And we were given that permission by both the town and the county. And it took one particular neighbor's griping and saying that, more or less like schoolyard behavior, you know, that we're staring at them. My customers were looking at him as if we're not looking at the lake that's behind his house. And why he isn't on the front of his house looking at the lake, too, is beyond me. But and with that, it's been one. I don't even know where the rabbit hole could lead us to down from here. But in the end, the permit was rescinded. They went as far as
they rescinded a permit.
They rescinded the zoning board, more or less, said they never gave me final permission. They then began a review process, which led to a Supreme Court case, which that has already been overturned. But during that process, the town of Barrington actually tried to proclaim that I couldn't use my deck for loitering of any kind, including eating or drinking, no matter what it was. So if you're standing in my side lawn adjacent to the deck having a beer, and I'm on the deck having a breakfast sandwich, I'm the one in violation, not you. Which I ask people, you know, what harm are we causing, and how is Barrington any better if we get rid of this deck and this kind of atmosphere? I just don't have an answer for either one of those questions.
Are you now concerned that Barrington could win? Are you feel like you're on your way to at least getting that permit restored?
When I'm comfortable in the truth, and I'm comfortable with our effect overall in the community, and I would say overall very positive. It would be unfortunate for Barrington to decide that the town were better without me. I certainly have enough equity in the place and enough other skills. I feel comfortable that if I had to sell the store and move on, I could do that. So in terms of negative outcomes, there are outcomes that would be better than others, but I'm prepared to deal with whatever comes to me.
If Barrington wins, will you leave that business?
I don't know what would be defined as a win for them, because now you're talking about the capital T town of Barrington versus the community of Barrington. And I think me leaving would be a real detriment for our community. And I would hate to abandon them like that. There's a lot of people that want me to continue to fight. And that's part of the reason, one of the reasons that's brought us here today.
But the last time I was down there this summer, I heard a customer say, just sort of musing on this situation, "This is why people hate government. This is why people get frustrated.
It's a libertarian's nightmare come true," kind of a thing, you know.
Yeah, and just hearing from a customer. So, if they can't use the property that you have built, and you've probably spent a little money, you know,
like $7, plenty, sure.
You know, I'm wondering what the outcome is going to be if they can't use it. You've got all this extra space you've already built, you've already spent that you can't use anymore, and then if you want to sell it, whoever is going to come in and buy it wouldn't be able to do anything with
it. Why a great party house. Whoever wants to come and buy it can come and make a real gem of a concert venue, probably privately if they wanted to, or make it into whatever they want. I don't see that happening, so I don't want to try to talk our way through those outcomes.
Okay.
My goal is to focus on providing a lifestyle for people around Cuca Lake, locals and travelers alike. I'm going to stay positive and just stay with the vision that I have and I'm prepared for the worst, but I'm hoping for the best.
When do you expect to find out?
It's been a little while. We filed an Article 78 petition, actually, which is how an individual sues a legislative body, in this case me versus the town of Barrington, me the petitioner, them the respondents. There are portions of the argument that have already gone in our favor. We're waiting on a few answers from the town. I think what's really unfortunate is the waste of resources that the town of Barrington has already incurred, which I have looked up through my foiling abilities for Freedom of Information Law. You know, the town of Barrington has already spent over $15,000 defending the decision that I can't use a 400-square-foot deck that they gave me permission to use 2 years ago. So why anybody would ever come up with that as being the best possible outcome, or even some sort of give or take or in the meeting in the middle, is still beyond me. I do want to give a small shout out to my attorney, Jessica Bryant, jbryantlaw.com. She's been just my rock, really, during this whole process, guiding me through some of these legislative and litigative loopholes and obstacles. And I could not have done it without her, and I thank her greatly for it.
But this doesn't make you want to get into politics. Earlier this hour, you talked how, you know, you went to school for poli-sci. They jokingly called you the mayor ever since childhood, that you loved the region, that you loved sort of the give and take and the interaction of politics, but you felt elected leaders is different than being a politician. But does this change your mind?
The problem that I have with it is a lifetime of it, and how, you know, everyone says, oh, are you going to run for town board now? It's like, God, my father's been on town board for 31 years. I don't have any interest in being a lifetime politician or being an elected official.
Did
as
you just
a
call
lifestyle.
Your father a lifetime politician?
Well, he's a lifetime elected official. And he's a real BSer from way back too. That's where I learned it from.
Okay.
So my parents give me a lot of strength, that going back to kind of what drove me from the very beginning, small business owners, hard work. For me, just taking those kind of work ethics and turning it into a lifestyle on Cuca Lake and continuing to work hard and provide what I can, and at the same time earning some free time so I can go and spend it with some of the great customers that come in my store from all over the country. But, you know, the outcome of becoming a politician, I guess I admit to my friends that I'd always like to be like a one-term governor, just to see. My friends in New York
City.
You're
probably a term limits guy, aren't you?
I'm definitely a term limits guy, 100%. So with that having been said, we'll see. Term limits on myself in terms of the amount of time in my lifetime that I'd really want to spend as an elected official, I don't know.
Seth Olney's place is called The Olney Place, O-L-N-E-Y, on Cuca Lake. And we've been talking about his experience buying the store 10 years ago, building it up into a regional destination. And you heard from some of the people on Twitter. Bob Duffy is a customer. He called in this hour. But we've been talking about some of the struggles. So let me ask you a few more things before I lose you for the
Absolutely.
Hour here. You work, you know, the store is open 5.5 months a year.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to make a year's worth of income in less than half a year.
Mm-hmm.
Your single biggest day is what?
Depending on how it falls, this year would have been the Sunday of the 4th of July weekend, with the 4th being on a Monday, the day I was given my notice of violation from the town for drinking in the back.
It was a good day for you.
Yeah. The July 3rd this year was it.
So it's always around the 4th of July?
We always have said, if the 4th of July were a country, the only place would be the Capitol building.
So that's the big. Do you have any idea how many people come into the store on that kind of a day?
You're probably in the 500 to 600 count. For us on a day like that, good summer day, you know, in that 330 to 400 range, and we will do more. When we were first opening, we were open in April, and the 4th of July would beat the first few weeks of April combined. And that was really the point for me was, I don't need a bigger 4th of July. I just need more 4th of Julys and that's the tool of the music and things that we've tried to do to expand and make us just more viable from open to close. Strike while the iron's hot.
Where are you going in this off season this time around? Where are you planning to travel?
You know, I'm doing this mural and in the horizon kind of making it a timepiece. I've got some notes of Seattle and things. Shamefully, I've never been to San Diego, which in the world of beer, San Diego is to beer what Wisconsin is to cheese. So I think I kind of got to find myself there at some point. I've got a lot of friends on the Gulf Coast of Florida that I haven't seen in a while. So we'll see. I don't start thinking about it. That's post Labor Day type activity for me.
You aren't planning.
I don't usually.
All right. Well, let me grab a phone call in Barrington. This is Bob in Barrington. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, it's Robert Brendan, a friend of Seth's. Just wanted to comment. I know what he's been going through. I actually went through myself, but everybody down there is in support of Seth. Kind of a good old boy relationship that the town tries to run down there, and they think that the police are the entire lake. I just wanted to comment that I had an issue legally with the town, and I just kind of went away. But Seth is doing the right thing by hiring Jessica, and we're all in support of him, and I just wanted to comment on that.
Thank you.
Bob, thanks for the phone call. I don't have anyone from the town of Barrington right here, so I don't want to sort of overly litigate every issue with the town, but just to update you on where things stand with The Olney Place. And if you see something different next year, or if you see a for sale sign, which Seth doesn't want to do, you know some of the background there. So you don't know where you're going yet, but wherever you go, sometimes you tend to bring back interesting things, and you've got a few things on the table here. What are the most, I don't know if I want to say unusual items in your store, but most sort of interesting specialty items? You've got naan chips here.
I brought you some the Inez Rosales. We got a little sweet olive oil tortas. Everything from the Jackson's Honest and Mile Comet Lawn lines that you can find through a lot of grocers now, but even a lot of specialty goods. My friends at CNC Gardens right down the street, my friend Hillary, who makes a flour, a gluten-free flour out of processed and more or less the trash of the winemaking process. She takes the seeds and mills them and makes a gluten-free flour out of them. We try to find ourselves in a little niche market, but it's everything. People come in, they're like, oh, you sell Orangina. You're the only place that sells Orangina. I'm like, really? I used to get Orangina at the local grocery store when I was a kid. You know, they just kind of randomly had it. Tate's cookies. Tate's, if you're not selling Tate's, I don't know what cookies you're selling these days, because man, they just fly off the shelf. There's a lot, and I brought you some goodies here. We can continue to open
you
up
didn't
the break,
listen but. Listen, we can't accept any goodies, but
well,
it's nice of
room.
You to bring
for
them
the
for pictures
room, for the break room.
30 seconds, what's the biggest lesson, biggest surprise to you as a small business owner that you did not know 10 years ago when you bought the store?
Whew, that is on the spot, Evan. I guess how you, for me, it's about the employees. You know, my mom's business, other businesses, I've seen the success. You know, you look at places like Wegmans, where there's a real culture that starts not only with the clientele, but they always say, if the employees don't love it, the customers never will. And to be able to think that you could build a business where the employees love being there, I didn't know that was possible. My guys, my gals, and my staff, they do such an incredible job. I'm proud of them and all they do, and I'm more surprised than ever at the spectacular job they do for me.
Only place is
823 East Lake Road, 8 miles south of Penyan, in between Ravines and Rooster Hill Winery.
And there you go. Seth Olney is the owner and came all the way from Keuka Lake here. Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Evan. I appreciate the opportunity.
All right. Thanks to Seth. And our Summer of Food, we got a couple more weeks of that, but you can check out previous conversations at wxxinews.org/connections. Rob Braden's the engineer and Megan Max the producer. I'm Evan Dawson. We'll talk to you Friday.